Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host. I am so excited you're here with us today. We have my friend Deborah Atkinson, who's an amazing fitness expert, here to tell you some stuff that you're not going to believe. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
I'm going to read you just a few things about Deborah so you kind of get the idea of what you're in for. Hormone balancing fitness expert Deborah Atkinson has helped more than 150,000 women flip their second half with energy and vitality. She's the author of You Still Got It, Girl, the After 50 Fitness Formula for Women, Navigating Fitness After 50, and Hot Not Bothered. Deborah hosts Flipping 50 TV, an internet broadcast, and the Flipping 50 podcast, an AARP top podcast for adults 50 plus that has over a million downloads. That's amazing. That really is Deborah. Now, Deborah is the creator of the first and only membership for women in menopause utilizing evidence-based programming for hormone balancing exercise, and trains trainers who work with women in menopause with the Flipping 50 fitness specialist. She's a frequent speaker, and her recent TEDx talk is Everything Women in Menopause Learned About Exercise May Be a Lie. Okay, Deborah, now that I've got that out, I'm gonna tell you guys, audiences, this is so funny. This is like the fourth or fifth time we recorded this. I could not say Flipping 50. It was just, my tongue wouldn't do it. It kind of made it that time. But anyway, I may have to do a blooper reel. But anyway, Deborah, I just, it's amazing what you do and how many women you help. And I love the name of your company, even though I can't say it, Flipping 50. So can you tell us how you got started, a little bit of how you got started doing what you're doing?
Yeah, well, the dirt way back when, you know, I got started before I knew I was started. I am the youngest child. My mom was a little bit older, and it wasn't sexy yet to be doing that when she did that. She had me when she was 38, mm-hmm. which is no big deal now, but in 64, that was a bigger deal. Right. So my sister was 16 years older, and actually the story goes when we were all out, people assumed I was my sister's baby. Yep. So that really bothered my mom. I think that's about the time she started coloring her hair. But yeah. I had older parents, I had older siblings. So I was really educated in the music of the culture of baby boomers. Mm-hmm. And I was learning that as I grew up, not knowing the value of that. And you know, going through junior high and high school, I was somebody's little sister. I wasn't Deborah. I was like John's little sister. Oh, he used to do this. And I'm like, okay, good. You know, I don't really, yeah. But, it really served me well, because by the time I got to college, I was given, when we went to exercise clinics and we had people, we really worked with subjects, I was always given older clients. So even in my 20s, I began to work with women who were in middle of life and older, and I was comfortable with them, and they were with me because I'd been cultured that way. So when I got to my own 40s, I already thought, I have it. I know what I'm doing. And then it happened to me, and I'm like, I don't have anything. wait a minute, you know, they can just pull the rug out from under you whenever they want to. And so I had to figure it out myself. And I was still kind of in this good fortune area myself when I decided I really wanted to have a bigger reach. So at 49, I quit my job, safety, security, no TAA crap, and all of that, said goodbye. And I wanted to build an online business to reach more women and more trainers. And the day after that, I panicked. I literally was like, what did I just do? I'm going to start paying college tuition for my son in 8 months. I'm like, so I tethered myself to my computer because I was going to do what I'd been doing for almost 30 years, but I now was going to do it online. And I had a lot of learning to do before I could get to that point. And some of you are having gone through that in the last 4 or 5 months yourself, you know, now you're online and you were never before and you didn't know you wanted to be. Well, by the time I was done, I, you know, went from somebody who had exercised for hours a day as a fitness professional and as somebody who also liked to do it herself for decades to somebody who barely let herself away from the computer for 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sometimes still in my pajamas at noon and went for a walk with the dog. But what I realized after a year is I was in better shape. I was leaner, I was stronger, I was healthier looking. And I thought, you know, what happened? Because that's not what I've been teaching, you know, to anyone. And that's not what I'd been taught. So I dug into what happened to me, because a study of one is nothing. I needed to know, is this a thing or is this just a fluke? And I realized that, no, you know, there's so very little research out there for women in menopause.
Right.
And that, you know, we'd all been doing it wrong. We got lucky. You know, if we got good results when we were in our 20s and 30s, we can get away with it. But anything that we're not doing right is amplified when we go through hormone changes. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized all the women who were talking to me like, you know, nobody gets me. My doctor just said, well, you're getting older. Welcome to menopause. As if it's downhill, fall over, wrap it up, you know. And the baby boomer generation wasn't willing to settle for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't accepting that. So I call myself a barely boomer. I'm like the tail end, right?
Right.
And so I dedicated myself to that smaller niche, you know, where I'd been training everybody for decades. I narrowed it down and just dug into the research. And that's all we do all day long is apply that little bit of research to programs for women. So we're not mice and we're not mini men or 20 something women. And that's who most of the research is on. So we dig into only using that, which will apply, and we know it. So it's been so rewarding to, you know, give women in midlife who I think are the biggest health influencers potentially in the world.
Well, you know, and two, yeah, like if you think about it, that's true. They're the ones that they are the influencers because they have buying power and they want to feel good.
Yeah.
They've been used to feeling good. It's like they want to still feel good.
Right. And they've got kids, they have their own peers and spouses or partners, and they've got parents and in-laws or outlaws. Three generations are looking to them for what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? I love that. That really is fascinating. And I know that you were sitting there thinking, what the heck is going on? Why am I thinner and leaner? And yeah. So.
Yeah. Right. And it's hard to believe. And I will tell you that even I left to my own devices. Had I not been tethered to this and started to go through hormone changes, my default would have been more exercise and eating less, which sends us into stress. You know, that's like one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake. How well does that work, right?
Yeah, it's not a good thing. So let me ask you, the title of this series is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. What does that title or Ace Your Space, what does that mean to you?
Oh gosh. You know, clarity, number one, I think is the number one obstacle for almost anyone in getting fitness or reaching a higher level of health. And if we can just say it easily, energy. I mean, for most of us, you know, that's like a hot commodity. You know, we're tired all the time. We've got certain level of fatigue and maybe not sleeping. So getting more energy, I don't think anyone would turn that down. And most of us are feeling maybe like we've dug ourselves in a hole. But I don't think it's motivation. I don't think it's discipline or a lack of that. What I think it is a lack of clarity. We don't know what to do when we have the small space open up for the time to do it. And we don't have time to do both. Think about it and figure out what to do or do it. And so we don't do either because we just don't know what to do. It's like sitting in a room with too many piles of things and we cannot choose. So I think clearing the clutter really means get rid of, you know, all of the things that you're making yourself feel guilty about, not do them. You don't need to, the majority of them. They're not the thing anyway. And figuring out what are the one, two, and three things that I can do in a short amount of time that check that box. I don't have to think about it anymore.
I love that. That's such a good answer. Now, one of the, you know, like what we just talked about clutter there. And of course, for me, my definition of clutter is really anything that gets in the way of you and your goals and dreams. It's not just the piles in the corner. It is the piles in the corner, but it's like, so that, I mean, that's like a huge thing for women, particularly of a certain age. If their fitness levels are not where they want them to be, if their health is not where they want it to be, they can't go after their goals and dreams. So that's a huge reason why I wanted you to talk to us today. Now, what are some ways that you've seen people having the clutter of an unfit body? How does that really get in their way?
You know, I think the biggest thing is confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, I someone might have, you know, been wondering, you know, or ready to give the answer for me and thought, you know, well, it's health or it's, you know, a risk of disease. But I think immediately it's confidence. I mean, and if you say, what's going to get me or you out of bed or off the couch today or tomorrow, it is not going to be reducing our risk of heart disease in 10 years. It's going to be, do I look good in these jeans, right? It's going to be the wedding is coming up and I want to wear a sleeveless dress and we want to feel good in it. And here's the thing, if anybody's worried about that or feeling like that feels like just a vanity play and I don't want that to be describing me, it doesn't matter, because in the end, you get that and you get the bonus of the health too. So whatever your motivation is, take that, run with that, own that, and know you get the health benefits no matter what. So that's okay. No judgment.
Well, and you know, and also, I mean, if you think about it, if you have confidence, you can do so many more things in your life. You don't stop yourself. So, I mean, that in itself is, you know, a lack of confidence is, you know, a cluttered mindset right there. So, I mean, I think that's a brilliant answer. I love that.
You know, and I think in the moment that we're in, it's worth saying too that, you know, we need to, you know, take care of our health. I think we need some kind of insurance and assurance that we are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to, number one, be able to ride it out if we get exposed, but also in this moment, you know, we may not be sleeping even though we were 6 months ago just fine, mm-hmm. because we have a little bit more in our minds, whether it's us, our finances, it's our children and or older aging parents, mm-hmm. something more is going on for us today, for all people in the world. Mm-hmm. So I think helping yourself purge some of that stress and adrenaline through exercise so that the stress isn't going to go away, but you'll be more resilient and you'll be able to weather it better.
I love that. That's such a key thing. You're like you said, particularly today.
Yes.
Yeah, what we're going through.
Yeah.
So, you know, why is it so confusing to figure out like how to get results from exercise, particularly, I guess, for women our age, or even for anybody for that matter of fact? I mean, it's like, they say one thing and then they say another thing and you know, who knows?
Right. Well, I think I wrote about this to my audience just within the last couple of days that, you know, I looked up weight loss and diets and there were like 74 billion searches, mm-hmm. right? We know there aren't even that many people on the planet. So somebody's looking more than once, right? But that's a lot of hits. And, you know, so there's one reason why it's so hard because anybody with a PC can put information online. And when you go searching and asking Dr. Google, you get who knows whose opinion. And if you look five different places, you could potentially get five different ideas for one step that you can take right now. And there's confusion. And they're probably all or many conflicting with each other. They're, you know, giving the opposite advice. And so that's one. And people can be very convincing. Marketers are ending their website URLs with .org. And we all suddenly think, well, we can trust them, right? Because they're an association, right? And we just can't. So I think you've got to, you know, be able to sort through, filter through, ask a girlfriend, ask your doctor, who's a good resource, find something, and not go chasing something that sounds good or looks good. Or, you know, if it looks too easy, it sounds like a quick fix, it probably is not going to work. And that's not to say that the answer has to be hard either. I think the hardest part about the right answer right now is that it's hard to accept, because we've been conditioned for decades that exercise should be hard, it's work, it's painful, you're going to experience some soreness, and that you just need to eat less. So all we're hearing is really punishment and deprivation. Right. And those are not very motivating. And so we tend to turn off, but yet our mindset is, if we don't work hard enough and if we're not hungry, then it's not going to work. So we've got this just dual-edged sword going on all the way around. And that makes it hard. Change is hard enough, even if we choose it, even if we want to go that direction. But when we throw in these other obstacles, it makes it much more difficult.
Yeah, that it does. It makes me, I was thinking about one of my mentors is like a real mindset guy. And it's almost like if you tell yourself it's going to be hard and I have to deprive myself, your brain expects it. And it likes it, you know, it almost makes you want to do it. Yeah. It's like, it's
yeah. Great. Well, when you think we've been conditioned to avoid pain our entire lives. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fitness industry, and I have to, you know, cough up, I've been a part of that for 36 years. We did a real, you know, we made a big mistake by calling it a workout. I mean, nobody likes work. Why would we do that?
you're right. I didn't realize that. Yeah. It is a workout. Why do we call it that?
That's yep.
Good point. All right. So what fitness exercise mistakes are women making? Of course, I think one of them is what you just said. They're going to Dr. Google or going online and not really knowing what they're doing. But what other mistakes would you say that women make?
So this is a little stereotypical and yet still fairly true as it runs. Women tend to still think more cardio is the better way to burn more calories and burn fat. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I was listening to a contemporary podcast just today myself. And again, they were playing it. It was like, I wanted to call in and say, don't say that. Don't say that anymore. But, you know, ultimately changing your body composition by strength training for the long term will benefit you most in terms of changing your metabolism, changing your body composition, changing your posture, and changing your mood. So if you think about someone who's grieving and the posture of someone who's grieving, mm-hmm. I mean, immediately, if I asked you to play that part in a play and you're trying out, what would that be, right? Yeah. So we tend to, when we strength training, nobody knows which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Do we get depressed because we have this posture, or are we in this posture because we're depressed? Which is which? when you improve your posture and open up, people tend to get more confidence. We talked about that earlier. And your mood also changes just because you do this or because you smile, right? You can change your mood, your body chemistry, and looking at somebody else, it's a mirror image. So the biggest mistake is doing too much cardio and thinking that's really the key to burning fat, losing weight, when in fact, you're going to change your body so much more quickly, mm-hmm. feel so much stronger, so much more endurance, that when you strength train, you'll want to do more movement all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And that's the second mistake. We think we need more and more exercise. We actually need less. We just need high quality exercise when we do it, mm-hmm. because the goal is not to get better at the exercise. It's to get better at life.
Right.
And we all have to sit. Both of us we're prime examples, right? So we're sitting right now, but little bits of getting up, you know, every 25 minutes for a few minutes, or getting up every hour for 10 minutes, those little bits of exercise all day long and moving before and at lunch and afterward are much more tied to our risk for obesity mm-hmm. than is exercise. So we can't couch compensate 23 hours a day because we've exercised. So it's do enough that you feel like being active all day long. That's really the key. Yeah.
I love that. That's so good. You just said, I was going to say, if you had to give the most important components of fitness for women in midlife, what three things would you say? But of course, one of them is what you just said, do the strength training and then get up, be active every day, have an active lifestyle, I would imagine.
Yeah. So the three related most to exercise, I would say definitely strength training, interval training. So get breathless, mm-hmm. you know, almost every day, do something to get breathless. And then the third is the movement. And I'll not say this, but hope that everybody assumes we need to maintain our range of motion. So stretching all the time is key, but it's, you know, get strength training to fatigue, get interval training to breathlessness, and move, just move more. It doesn't have to be hard all the time.
Now, for interval training, is there like a good formula for like high intensity training? Like be exercising like at a high level for 30 seconds or a minute, or does it really matter? Is it more important to just get to that level and then rest, you know, do it like a recovery and do it again?
Yeah. So I think what you're asking is, does it have to be specific? And no, though there are varying protocols. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were just out going for a walk and you said, I'm going to go to that street lamp and I'm going to go as hard and fast as I can, or I'm going to march up this little hill as fast as I can. Perfect. Doesn't really matter if it's 10 seconds, 20, 30, or a minute. It's nice to vary it. So every day, don't do that same distance or duration of interval, because we do have a different energy systems and each one kind of responds to a different length. Vary it, break it up, but there's no one perfect interval.
Gotcha.
Good question.
Yeah, I wonder that, because I hear different people say different things. So that's good to know. That's good to hear. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, what has your relationship to physical clutter been throughout your life, and how has it impacted you?
Well, probably I should block my table back. So I like it. I like clutter. No, I'm just kidding.
I love it. It works for me. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I really attached a post-it note, so there's a lot of those back there. But, you know, I have a toleration level. That's what I find. And I can stand it to a certain point, and then I will start to avoid that space and find something that's not cluttered, or find I have to like clean it. Like I've reached that threshold, and then I'm not able to be productive. You know, I can sit in there, but then there's so many piles that, you know, nothing's getting done.
You know what? That's That's a really great point. There is like, and everybody's got a different clutter threshold. That's a perfect term, which you termed it as like, it's like how much is too much. There's a point when it's not going to bother you, and there's a point when it's like, I can't. So.
Yeah. And I would say the opposite too. Like, I think I have a threshold for it being too neat.
It's like too much. Yeah. Definitely possible. Absolutely. Okay. Like, too much. I got to put a pile here or something. Yeah.
Lived in. Look.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we do live in our, I mean, I think that could be, you know, if it's too neat, you're almost afraid to mess something up. It's like, oh, I don't want to touch that. You know, if you go into somebody's space that's too neat, you don't feel comfortable because it's like, you're afraid you're going to mess something up. So it's like, there's a happy medium where it's like, it's a lived in happy space. And you can still find your keys when you're ready to leave. Yeah.
I can't find my keys when they're in my hand. Really?
Okay. Well, there we go. We got to work on that, Deborah. We'll figure that one out. All right. So what tips would you give us to help us free our time and reclaim our energy?
Planning. So I think, I have a brother who is a deep sea diver. So this was life or death, but they're infamous for saying, you know, you plan the work and you work the plan. And pilots do this too, right? They don't use their gut reaction or intuition. They go by the flight plan. Otherwise, fewer of us would have made it down from those planes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you've got a plan, whether it's you take a half an hour or an hour on Sunday to sit down and look at, here's my life calendar this week. Here's where my exercise fits in. These are appointments so that when Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday come at that time, you just have to go into action because you've blocked the time off. It's yours. So I think that's probably one of the keys to success for people who exercise and get results. Your best friend is consistency, no matter what else you're going to do. We can argue all day about whether you do Zumba or you go for a walk or bike ride, but it's consistently doing something that matters.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I love that. Okay. I have a couple more questions for you. What's the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week?
Well, the most interesting thing I've read or seen this week. Gosh. Okay. You know, I would have to say that I was shocked even by what I told you. So doing that Google search so that I could reach out to my audience about dieting and why that's not the key to success. 74 billion is a lot of searches.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing. It's a scary thing, but it's an interesting thing. So I like that one. Now then, what was your favorite book as a child?
You know, it would have to have been a Judy Blume book. So she was my girlfriend. Yeah. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, or Deanie, or so many of them. Yeah. I loved them all. I loved them as a mom, reading them again to my son. Not all of those, but, you know, there were some for younger kids too. So she was just a great author. Love her. Okay.
She was great.
Yeah.
Now, I think you have a gift for the audience.
Yes, I do. Spend 5 days with me. So we call it the 5-day flip. Everything in my life is a flip. So it's 5 short videos a day, one a day for 5 days, and they're 15 minutes-ish long. So they're a way for you to prove, I do have time. One of the biggest obstacles we've all got. I show you, how do I organize a week worth of exercise? So you can plot that forever in your own calendar if you want to. And those days of videos disappear. So there's some reason why you need to do it today. We cannot wait till tomorrow. Yes. So there's a little method to the madness. Yeah.
You can't just wait and do all 5 of them on like Saturdays. Like
no, please don't do that. And don't call me at home after you do that.
Right? Yeah. You're going to be hurting, and it's just your own fault. So there you go. Okay, you know what? That's going to be so useful. And guys, there's going to be a link to that somewhere below or around this video. Look for that. I know they're going to love it. Now, if you could leave people with one action that they could take to help them declutter their life, what would that be?
Sit down and pull out paper and a pencil and write down your exercise priorities. Put that on your column on the left, and on the column on the right, if you can yourself do it, if you can't, seek someone who can help you do it to align the things that you'll do to reach those goals and prioritize your activity. And then leave all of the rest of the options alone.
Got it. I love that. That's such a good answer. You know, Deborah, I have had so much fun talking to you today. Thank you so much for being a part.
Well, thanks so much for having me. You're easy to talk to. So fun.
Thank you. Audience, I know that you've gotten just as much out of this as I have. Go and, you know, do a 15 or 20 minute exercise. Don't, you know, don't kill yourselves. That's what I'm going to do when we get done with this. And be sure to look at your email for your email tomorrow. I'm going to have another couple of really great Ace Your Space interviews for you. Until then, I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.